morning, everybody. If you don't know me, my name is Jen Ortiz, and I'm so blessed to be a pastor here. Pastor Shayna actually sends her love today. She is with her boys today. They're doing baseball as usual, and she'll be back next week, so don't worry. She always leaves such big shoes to fill. I'm like, how do I follow up with be fruitful and multiply? I don't know. We'll give it a go. But as a church, we've said this several times already today, but we've been in the midst of 21 days of prayer and fasting, and it has just been a phenomenal time. We've had somebody leading corporate prayer every day here at the church, and it's been such a blessing because it hasn't just been the person who's leading prayer here praying by themselves. It's actually been a group of people who have been consistently coming to pray every day, which is such a blessing. And on top of that, we've actually been able to partner with about 1,500 people globally. There are about people from 66 different countries who are praying and fasting with us. So it's just been such a phenomenal journey. And one of the things Pastor and I had talked about is we said, since we're in the midst of 21 days of prayer, we probably should take a Sunday and teach a little bit about prayer, right? And some of you, as soon as I said that, you're like, oh no, snooze fest, here we go. Hopefully I won't put you to sleep, but we are going to talk about prayer today. So Psalm 126 is where we're going to begin. I'm going to make you stand because it's still cold in here. I was about to preach with my jacket on, but I thought that would not be appropriate. But stand because we like to get our blood moving. We're just reading two verses today. We're going to be reading verses 5 and 6. I'm going to be reading from the New King James Version. If you don't have that version, no problem. This particular scripture is actually great in every version I've ever read it in. But for our sake, let's read together. Are we ready? That was like three people who said yes. I'm going to need you to participate this morning. Are we ready? Oh, that was much better. All right, here we go. Psalm 126, verses 5 and 6. Those who sow in tears shall reap in joy. He who continually goes forth weeping, bearing seed for sowing, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Lord, I thank you for your word. I thank you for your word that is so powerful. And Lord, I pray today that your word would do what it does best, that it would speak straight to our hearts, that it would motivate us, that it would encourage us, that it would convict us, God, that it would empower us today and strengthen us. Holy Spirit, I pray that you would be my words today. I pray that they would come straight from your throne room and that our hearts would be open to hear what it is you have to speak to us today, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, before you sit down, I want you to turn to someone and tell them this phrase. Prayer is a planting place. Okay, turn to your other neighbor because you probably have two and tell them prayer is a planting place. All right, you can go ahead and have your seats. Now, in this particular passage, which is a powerful passage, the psalmist here who wrote this, many believe it's actually Ezra, the prophet, and he's writing because they are coming out of a time of captivity. And he's relaying an agricultural principle that I believe relates to prayer. Now, we're not necessarily an agricultural society, but if you read the Bible, there is this parable or this metaphor of an agricultural principle that's all over the Bible. And it's the principle of sowing and reaping. Actually, Renee touched on it today. I thought he was about to preach my message. I was like, go, Renee, just preach it. I'll just come at the inside and say amen. Right? But it's a principle of sowing, which is planting. So if you want to think about it like that. And then reaping, which is when you harvest what you planted. So that's the principle we're talking here. It's all over the Bible, right? So Galatians 6 says, whatever you sow, that you shall also reap, right? You see it in the Old Testament. You've seen it with Jesus. He talked about sowing the word and what you reap as a harvest. It's all over the Bible, Old and New Testament. And so this particular scripture that we're talking about, it has to do with prayer. And some of you are thinking, what in the world does it have to do with prayer? Now, today when we're talking about prayer, forgive me if this does not translate well what I'm trying to say, but you know there's a difference in our prayers, right? Some prayers are like light. Like, for example, I lose my keys and my phone quite often. They seem to have legs and they run away. So the other day I lost my keys and I was like, Lord Jesus, help me find my keys. Right? Lord Jesus, where are my keys? Holy Spirit, show me where my keys are. And then bam, it's like, found my keys. Right? So those are like, I prayed, and right away I seen a harvest on what I prayed. I found my keys. Praise Jesus. right? But how many of you know that there are prayers that are a little bit weightier than that? How many of you know that there are prayers that you pray that you don't see harvest on right away? Right? So how many of you know that there are prayers that are heavy almost? And sometimes they bring you not just to your knees, but they bring you to tears. And you cry as you pray because it's heavy. Those are the type of prayers I'm going to be talking about today. And those are the prayers that I believe the psalmist is referring to. And I want to tell you, God has such a tender heart when you're in that place of prayer. He has such a tender heart for you. And that scripture gives us a promise that when you sow or you're planting or you're praying and it's so tough that you cry, that God sees every tear. And God uses those tears to cultivate that ground, and he promises a harvest on what you're praying. So if you've been in a season where you feel like, man, I've been praying for this thing and it's just been tough, right? I've been praying for healing. I'm still not seeing it. I've been praying for my kids to come back to the Lord. They're still acting crazy, right? I've been praying for financial breakthrough and it's just not happening. I feel like it's getting worse, right? Those are those prayers that are heavy. They're not just a quick turnaround harvest prayer. They take a little time and they take a little weight. And so that's what we want to be talking about today, especially with this particular psalm. So I've seen this principle operating in my life repeatedly. And even just with our 21 days of prayer, I will tell you, there was a season, you guys are so blessed because we're in a season of our church where people are just hungry for prayer and they're hungry for God. But I remember there was a season of our church when nobody came to prayer. And I tell you, I would be praying every Saturday night by myself crying. Pastor will tell you, I used to cry. I'd be like, Pastor, nobody came to prayer again. It was just me praying. And I wouldn't cry because I was by myself. I actually like being by myself. Some of you are extroverts and you like to be around people like all the time. I like to be by myself. I like myself and we are good together. So I have no problems being by myself. So I wasn't crying because I was lonely. Right? I was crying because in my heart was broken because I was like, God, why don't people like prayer? Why don't people see the power and the possibility in prayer? Why are our hearts so busy with everything else that we can't come to prayer at least once? Right? And so my heart was broken and I used to cry. And the Lord was like, I see every tear and I see every prayer you prayed and I get to still continually see the harvest of those prayers today. And that was years ago. But when I show up in the room and there are people praying here, I'm like, God, thank you for the harvest. Praise you. Because I remember when there was nobody here. So that's a harvest. It's something I see just in my life over and over again. And here's the deal with God. He's so good. And this scripture, I'll walk you through it in a minute, but he gives us more than what we expect. Because God's harvest is not the same as our harvest. Like, we'd be praying for one simple thing, and God will be like, here's the whole bunch. You prayed for one, I gave you 10. He's just so good like that. Another instance I had that this prayer kind of, or this scripture kind of came to mind is in 2008, many of you know this story, and some of you don't, but in 2008, I was about 4.5 months pregnant with my second child. And I already had a one-year-old, and so life was just incredibly busy. Right? You have a one-year-old, you're pregnant. You know how that is. You're emotional. Smells bother you. You know how it goes in pregnant people. But I'm just going about my day, and I see a phone call from my doctor's office. And I don't think much of it because I was a new mom, so we were at the doctor all the time. Like, I was like, he sneezed. Take him to the doctor. Like, God, we were just always at the doctor's. And so I seen the doctor's number, and I didn't think much of it. And I just thought, you know, probably they're calling me to reschedule an appointment, do something. Didn't think of it. Answered the phone. My doctor's on the other line. And for those of you who have ever got a personal call from your doctor, it is like a bolt of fear that shoots through your body. Because you're like, whoa, 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 whoa. Why are you calling? Why are you taking time out of your busy day to communicate with me? Something's going on, right? So he calls, he says, hey, Jen, I got to talk to you about something. He says that there are these, and I knew, we always run tests, right? There are just normal tests you do when you're pregnant. And he says there's a genetic screening test that we did a couple weeks back. And he said, unfortunately, one of those genetic markers has come up positive for your child. And I said, okay. And he says, so it's actually a really rare one. And it's not a good one. And I said, okay. He said, so it looks like your child has an extra chromosome. And what that means is that your child has a condition called trisomy 18, which in our terms is like a very severe form of Down syndrome. And I said, okay. And he said, the mortality rate is extremely high. So he said, you would be lucky if you're able to carry this child full term. And he said, even if you do carry this child full term, there's a 95% chance that your child will die before he meets his first birthday. So he's like, in light of that, I want you to consider terminating your pregnancy, because the emotional, the mental, the physical weight of you trying to carry this child to term is going to be extremely hard on you. He said, there's a couple more tests we still need to run, but I need you to consider that option. So I said, okay. I don't even think I said bye. I just hung up the phone. And I just fell to my knees. And I wept. And I wept before the Lord because I said, God, why? I felt like this was a promise that was being snatched from me. And I had already had a miscarriage before I had my first child. We had already kind of had our own journey of trying to have kids. And I was like, God, this is not right. Like, I know you promised me two kids. I know this is what was supposed to be for me. And what is happening? And I just wept before the Lord, poured out my heart to him. And when I was able to, I pulled myself together and I called my husband and I was like, here's what the doctor said. Here's what we're dealing with. Here's the decision that we have to make. And I had like zero faith in that moment. I'm going to be honest with you. I was just crying. And my husband, in his great faith, says, you know what? I hear everything you said, but I want to tell you that our God is bigger than 95%. So we're going to see this thing through till we can't see it anymore, and we're just going to walk through it. And that's what we're going to do. And I will tell you, in that season, I cried. Every time I came to church, I cried. You ever feel like that? You just feel like everybody be looking at you like, what is wrong? Why are you always crying? But in some way, my tears communicated a prayer that I just could not formulate out of my mouth. And I was sowing in tears because it was so heavy on me. And a couple weeks into my journey, I had all of these appointments I had to go to, and my husband and I, they had scheduled us for these two appointments, and one of them was a genetic counseling appointment, and then immediately after that, I was supposed to go and just get a routine ultrasound. And I was so blessed because Pastor Shana actually came with us, and we go to this appointment, and this woman who was very kind, she proceeds to lay out all of my genetic history. She talks to us about chromosomes and DNA. She looks at all of our, my side of the family's reproductive issues. She went through the whole thing. And at the end of the meeting, she looks at me and she grabs my hand and she says, I really want to tell you this is going to work out okay. But she said, I can't. She said, unfortunately, the odds are just stacked against you. And she said, I want to tell you things are going to work out, but I just don't believe they are. And in that moment, I was like, she's right. It ain't going to work out. Right? She does this every day. This is her job. This is what she does. So I leave, tell her thank you. We go to the waiting room, and I'm just sitting there. I cry, sitting in the waiting room. And Pastor Shane is like, you know what? Let's just pray. And she lays her hand on my belly, and she speaks life over my child. She speaks life over me. She says, it's okay, girl. You don't have faith right now, but I got faith enough for you. And so I pull myself together because it's time to go on to the next appointment. So we go on to the next appointment, which is an ultrasound. And those of you who have ever had an ultrasound or an x-ray, you know that the technicians don't usually talk to you about what they see, right? They usually just do the ultrasound and tell you your doctor is going to tell you what's next. So she's doing the ultrasound, I'm holding back my tears, and she does this. And I was like, oh, shoot, what now? Didn't I just hear some bad news? Hold your 2 cents, we don't need to hear it, right? She's doing her little ultrasound, she's like, Then she stops, and she goes and grabs my chart, and she's looking through my chart. I was like, it must be bad. She goes, puts my chart, she comes back around, she's like, what are you in here for? And I tell her, like, why are you asking me? You just read it in the chart. She's like, what are you in here for? And I tell her, this is what's happening. And she was like, look, I'm not a doctor. She's like, I'm not even probably supposed to say this. She said, I don't care. She said, I am trained to look for certain characteristics of children who have this particular genetic disorder. She's like, I know what they look like. She's like, I have an inside look into things that people can't see because I'm doing an ultrasound. She says, I don't see those things. I don't see any of those things on your child. She's like, I know that's what they said. I know this is what the reports are. She's like, I'm just telling you, I'm not a doctor. I think your child's going to be okay. And honestly, that was all I needed. I was like, here we go. And from that point on, and trust me, I still cried. I cried through that whole pregnancy. I cried. But I would say, God, thank you for this child. And I wouldn't ask for healing anymore. I would start declaring healing. Thank you, God, that I'm going to have a healthy child. Thank you, God, that there are no developmental disorders. Thank you, God, that I'm going to carry this child full term. Thank you that you have a call and a purpose on this child. And I would just pour it out in tears still, because sometimes it took everything in me just to pour that out and get those words out of my mouth, right? But I was sowing and I was planting. And then sometime later, a couple weeks later, my doctor calls me. And again, he's like, I'm not sure how to tell you this. I was like, oh, no. He says, I'm not sure how to tell you this because I'm not really sure what happened. He said, we just finished doing the very last DNA test that we needed to complete your whole series of testing. And he said, everything came back normal. He said, I don't know. He's like, maybe we had some false positives along the way when we were testing you. But he said, everything's fine. And those of you who know, I have now a 10-year-old son. His name's Caleb. That's him. When he was going to science camp and I cried again, he's going to science camp, right? But he's 10 years old, completely healthy, huge, almost the biggest kid in his class, no developmental delays or disorders. He's fine and perfect. So let me tell you, God rewards you, right? I prayed and I sowed in tears, but let me tell you, the Bible says that you come back rejoicing. So you come back with joy, you get to reap joy. But then the Bible also says, not only do you have joy, you get to bring sheaves with you. Now, some of you are like, what the heck is a sheaf? What's a sheave? Okay, a sheaf is a bundle of harvest. So a sheaf is not one piece of the harvest. A sheaf is you bundle together a bunch of your harvests. So it's a bundle of blessings. So this scripture says, when you sow in tears and things are tough and you don't know how things are going to work out, not only are you going to reap joy, but you are going to reap a bundle of harvests. Not one piece of harvest, a bundle. And let me tell you, for me, my bundle is not just seeing my child every day wake up and be healthy. That's just one blessing. My bundle is the intimacy that I gained with Christ during that season. My bundle is the intimacy I gained with people who were willing to stick through it with me when I didn't have enough faith and they had faith for me. Come on. My bundle is the relationship with my husband and seeing his faith increase tremendously. Come on. I came back with a bundle of blessings. Not just one. I had a whole bunch of blessings coming with me. Come on. And that's the principle that's here. In this particular scripture, it is about planting prayers and reaping harvest from those prayers. So let me talk to you in the natural for just a minute, because sometimes I get super spiritual. I got to talk to you from a natural place. So this is a pot. It's not a bowl. It used to have a plant in it, but I kill all of my plants. I don't know why. I tried to resurrect it. This had a dead plant in it until last night. I'm not even going to lie. And finally, I was like, I got to let it go. I need the pot. I can't come with a dead plant in the pot. Had to let it go. My son was like, did you just throw a plant in the trash? I was like, it was dead. You seen it. Okay, but it's a pot. This is also a planting place, right? So I can put dirt in this. And I can put a seed in this, and I can begin to plant and grow something in this little pot, right? Okay, your prayer life is a planting place. It's like that pot. You can put seeds in it and cultivate it and watch something sprout and grow from your prayer life. Let me tell you something that I know about planting, in the just the natural planting process, right? If I were to plant something, and maybe it would live. I get to pick what I plant. Okay? So if I have a pot and I'm going to say I'm going to grow an avocado tree, because people do. I looked it up online. People grow avocado trees from a plant like this. It's amazing to me. Anyway, this is an avocado seed. We'll talk about that in a minute. But if I choose to grow an avocado plant, I can plant those seeds in there and cultivate it and make an avocado plant. Right? I get to choose the seed I put into it. I also get to choose how I cultivate it. So I can add water when I remember. I can add nutrients to the soil. I can make sure it has sun. I get to control some of the cultivation, right? Right? Yes? Okay. But then there are things I don't have control over when it comes to planting, right? One of which is time. As much as I want to plant things, I can't control how fast that thing is going to sprout and bring fruit. I cannot control the time. I also can't control the size of the harvest because I don't know. I can't control how much harvest that is going to produce. I want to tell you it is the same with our life with prayer. We get to choose what we plant in prayer. If you don't like something in your life, why don't you check what you've been planting with your words in prayer? Because a lot of times we want to complain because we want oranges from a tree that we never planted any seeds to get an orange from. And the Lord is like, you better start planting in prayer for things. You can control that. You get to choose what you plant. You get to choose how you cultivate what you planted. And I'm going to tell you, this gets me every time because sometimes I'll be mad about something and I'll go and pray about it and I'll feel better and then I'll get up and later I'll be like, you know what? They still get on my nerves. They ain't never going to change. I just uprooted what I planted. So my words just canceled out the seed I just tried to plant. We're in charge of that. That's our cultivation process. And then there are things I don't get to control in my prayer life, right? And we want to control this so bad, right? We pray about something. We don't get to control the time that it comes to pass. Although if you're like me, boy, I sure wish I could, right? You're not in control of the time. You're also not in control of the size of that harvest. And so a lot of us have been quitting on prayers we've prayed because they thought they weren't going to produce a harvest. And God is like, that seed is still in the ground waiting on you. It's still there. And this is prayer. And this is what this passage is referring to. Now, here is an avocado seed because I want to relate something to you. It's the biggest seed I could find. If I bring you a little lemon seed, you wouldn't see it, right? So this is an avocado seed. Now, there are things that I know about seeds as well, just in the natural. Okay, so a seed has the potential for an orchard, but you can't see it from looking at it. Right, so there's massive amounts of potential in this seed. But if I were to just look at this seed, it's really easy to discount it as anything valuable. Right? Okay, here's what else I know about a seed. A seed sometimes looks like it's dead. Right? This doesn't look like it has any life in it at all. Right? It's dormant. It doesn't look like it has life. But absolutely, it has life in it. It's just dormant. Okay? You tracking with me? Yes? Okay. Something else about a seed that we need to know. Let me flip my notes so I can remember what it is. Sorry, give me a second. Okay, a seed looks nothing like its harvest. So this avocado seed does not look like an avocado, right? So if you think of a seed as our prayers, it's very similar. Our prayers have massive potential inside of them that you can't see with your eye, right? Our prayers sometimes feel like they're dead. Right? You ever feel like you've been praying something for so long and it's just like a dud? Like that seed don't work. Right? You look at it, it feels like it's dead. But it's not. and our prayers often look nothing like the harvest they produce. So if you think about prayer, the act of praying, getting on your knees and praying about something doesn't look like the right thing to do to get what you want. Right? It looks like if you, you know, need a financial breakthrough, and I'm not saying there aren't things you have to do. There are absolutely things you should do for a financial breakthrough. But a lot of times, it's on your knees in prayer. And that doesn't look like the product of having financial breakthrough. But it's a seed. And it's a seed. Without a seed, there is no harvest. So without planting your prayers, you don't see a harvest. Unless God has mercy on you, which he does. Okay, you see this all over the Bible. And there's one place in particular. I'm not going to make you turn there, but you are free to go and research if you'd like, because it's just a story that resonates with me. And it's in 1 Samuel. And it's the story of a woman named Hannah. And Hannah is a woman of God, but she is barren. She cannot have kids. And every year, her and her husband go up to the temple. They bring their offerings. They pray. She cries. She's like, Lord, please give me a child. And every year she goes home, and she has no child. And I mean, this is something she does year after year after year. And at one point in time, she goes, and she's just so broken. Because she's like, God, I don't understand. And during this time, women didn't have kids. It was like a reproach on them that they did not have kids. And so she's out crying out to the Lord, pouring out her heart. God, why? God, what can I do? God, I want to have a child. Lord, I'll give him back to you if you give me one child. She's just pouring out her heart to the Lord, crying and weeping before the Lord. And the high priest, Eli, sees her, and he thinks she's drunk. Because he's like, she's lost her mind. Like, she is over here praying and crying. He thinks she's drunk. So he has a conversation with her. She pours out her heart to him, and he says, you know what? The Lord's going to give you what you've been asking for. And sure enough, in the passage of time, she comes back and she has a baby. She has a son, and his name is Samuel. Now, here is the harvest for her. First of all, she harvests joy because now she's no longer a shame or reproach because she was able to conceive and have a child. She's so excited, she tells the Lord, I'm going to give him back to you. Like, you can have him back because this is more than I ever expected. My shame has been taken away. So you can have him back, God. So she gives him unto the Lord. And Samuel becomes one of the greatest prophets in Israel. Come on, that's a harvest. That's a bundle of harvest. And then the Lord doesn't stop there. After she gives Samuel to the Lord blesses her with 5 other children. Come on, that's a bundle. That's a whole lot of kids, first of all. We won't even talk about that. That's a lot of kids. I got 2. I don't know. But God gives us more than we expect. And the principle here is she sowed in tears, she reaped in joy. She continually went forth sowing this seed. God, I want a baby. I need a child, God. And God brought her back with such joy and such a bundle of harvest. What I find so fascinating about this particular story of Hannah is that sometimes for us, the most costly place of our planting is when we're on our knees. Sometimes we can sit in church and we can worship, and it doesn't cost us much to worship. But sometimes when you've been disappointed year after year, again and again, when you've been rejected, it is so hard for you to open up your mouth and say, God, I still believe you for this promise. It's costly. But the Bible promises that when you sow in that costly place, you will reap a harvest. In fact, the scripture says you will doubtless, for sure, going to happen, reap a harvest. It is a for sure thing. So what am I getting at today, and what do I want you to do with this concept? I think that today you are probably in one of 3 places. So the first place you could possibly be in is that you did not realize that prayer was a planting process. You thought I'd just pray, shoot up a prayer, and hopefully down comes a blessing. Right? If you want to see some things change in your life, start planting in prayer. So maybe for you, today, your challenge is, you know what? I just need to start praying about things. Because we say we pray a lot, and we pray not a lot. We say we pray more than we actually pray. Right? But the Lord is like, just start praying about it. If you want to see something different in your life, start praying. Right? Some of us are reactive prayers. So that means we don't pray until something bad happens. And then all of a sudden, our prayer life's real rich. We're praying every day. But God is like, be proactive in your prayers. Don't wait for something bad to happen. You have a mouth that I've given you to create and to sow. Start using it to sow what you want to see. So if you have goals that you're reaching for in 2020, don't just try to work hard to get your goals done. Start praying through those goals. And God will show you something amazing. So maybe you're in that place, and your job today is just to start praying. Maybe you just need to start praying. Or maybe you have been praying about something, but you haven't been cultivating that prayer. So maybe you've gone to the Lord and you've said, God, this is what I need. This is what I want, God. Or your conversation with God has been a certain way. But you get up from prayer and your mouth does something different than what you just prayed for. So maybe you're praying for your marriage to improve, but every time you get off your knees, you complain about how annoying your spouse is. They get on my last nerve. Okay. Well, they're going to keep getting on your last nerve because that's what you keep speaking out of your mouth. Or maybe you pray, but you don't take time for God to talk back to you. So maybe you go to prayer and you're like, God, I need. And God goes to speak and you're like, see ya. You don't even stop to listen. And prayer is a two-way thing. You talk to God, but he talks back to you. And part of our cultivation is listening. God, what are you saying about what I'm praying about? Where are you moving? And God will give you instructions, and another part of cultivation is obeying those instructions. Right? So if I'm praying for a financial breakthrough, and God tells me, stay off of Amazon, because you know Amazon is a trap. Especially they'd be like, suggested for you. Man, those things be getting me. Right? So you're praying for a financial break, then the Lord's like, stay off of Amazon. Delete the app from your phone. And you're like, I'll have to keep the app just for an emergency. Right? So our seed is in the ground. We're waiting for financial breakthrough, but we won't delete the dang app. So for some of you, maybe you've got the seed in the ground, but maybe with your words, you're discounting the seed, or maybe with your actions, you're not cultivating that ground. So maybe for you, just start cultivating, right? And then the last place, and I'm going to be honest with you, this is the hardest place to be. You've been praying, you've been obeying, you've been cultivating, and you are just waiting for your due season. It's a tough place. But I will tell you, this is the place where you can't quit. Because you are doing what you need to do. You are praying, you are seeking God, you are hearing his voice, you are obeying him, and God's like, it's just a matter of time. It is the due season, the thing you want to control that you can't. I just need you to hang in there for the due season because something is coming. And I do believe, I'm not big on biblical numerology, it's called, but in the Bible, there are certain numbers that mean certain things. But the number 20 means a fulfillment of promises that have been long withheld. And I believe that this is a season, if you've been praying and you've been crying out to God, it's okay. Just keep waiting. It's coming. Your job is not to quit. Because the harvest is more than you can imagine. Okay, I want to leave you with this last thing with my great avocado seed here. Have any of you seen an avocado orchard before? They're huge. Oprah has her own avocado orchard. Did you guys know that? She said avocados are too expensive, so she bought her own orchard. I was like, do you, boo? Buy your own orchard then. Right? But they're huge. They are huge. And so the potential for an orchard, which is huge, is in a seed. Sometimes God shows us the orchard. It is the big vision of where he's taking us. And we get super excited about it. And then he hands us a seed. and we get an attitude. Because we're like, the seed don't look like the harvest. That seed don't look like a big old tree with a bunch of fruit. It looks like a little dead thing. But the promise is in the seed. And the promise is in your prayers. And so if you've been praying, don't quit. Don't just bury your seed and leave it alone. Keep praying. Keep believing. Breakthrough is going to come. Come on. Come on, if you've been waiting for a healing, I just want to tell you, healing is coming. Come on, because I know what it is to be waiting for a healing. Come on, I remember I had awful back pain for 2 years, and I cried every day. I cry a lot. I cried every day. I couldn't sleep. I couldn't sit. I would come to church, and I would sit on the floor because I just couldn't sit in a chair. I was in too much pain. Couldn't stand up, couldn't do anything. And I tell you, my husband told me one time, he was like, I don't know how this is going to get better, but one day you're just going to start feeling better. And I was like, that's easy for you to say. You don't have pain. And I promise you, one time I was sitting in Bible study, and I was sitting on the floor because I was in so much pain. And the Lord told me, get up and touch your toes. And I was like, God, you're funny. I haven't touched my toes in 2 years. Because I couldn't bend over. Like, I literally, I was in so much pain. I had lost so much mobility. I couldn't bend over. And sure enough, the Holy Spirit was like, get up and touch your toes. And come on, I've been praying, fasting. Everybody prayed for me. I got to a point where I was like, don't even pray for me anymore. I didn't want to come to church because people would get on my nerves. You just need faith. You just need faith and you'll be healed. I have faith. Don't touch me. I had an attitude. Here it is. God said, get up and touch your toes. And I got up and I tried it and I could touch my toes. And from that day, the pain just started to recede. Every day it got better and better. I don't even know how it happened, but it got better. Amen. So this principle is true. Amen. It works. And I probably have 1,000 stories I could tell you. But I won't because you all want to go home. So go ahead and stand to your feet. If you throw out the seed, you're going to throw out the promise. Don't abandon the seed. Keep praying. I'm going to pray for you before I let you go. If you feel like you were in one of those three places today, can you just flash your hand at me really quick so I know what I'm working with today? Amen. Okay, you can put your hands down. If you are in the last place, I want to pray for you specifically. So if you have been believing God for something, you know there is a promise for you. You've been believing God for something, but you just haven't seen it yet, and maybe you're getting a little discouraged. Can I just see your hand really quick? Amen. Amen. All right, I'm going to pray for you, especially for those of you waiting on a promise. So please join me as I pray. Lord, I pray for every person in this room, oh God, for those who are just beginning this journey of prayer, and for those, Lord, who have been maybe praying, but they've not quite cultivated it the right way. I pray, Lord, that you'd give them wisdom and you would speak to them. I pray, Lord, that we would choose wisely what we're planting every day with our words. And God, I pray a special prayer for those who have been waiting. I just pray, oh God, that their due season will arrive. I just declare in the heavenlies, God, that your angels are already moving on their behalf and delivering the promise of the word that you've given them, oh God. For those who are waiting for a healing, I just declare a full and complete healing in their bodies. For those who are awaiting, Lord, children, I just declare fruitfulness over them in Jesus' name. Lord, for those who are waiting for a financial breakthrough, I just declare debts being canceled right now in Jesus' name. For those who are waiting for their children to come back to you, oh God, I pray that right now you're calling those people back to you, back to your heart right now, Jesus. Lord, I thank you for the power that we have in our words to pray. And I pray that as we leave here today, oh God, we would use that power wisely. We thank you, Lord, and we bless you. In Jesus' name, amen.